Welcome to worship this Maundy Thursday, the beginning of the telling of the tale, the living of the tale, the putting into our hearts of the tale of our faith. The nights that Jesus was betrayed, given over into death, and the promise of the resurrection that comes on Sunday morning. I invite you to please stand as we can begin this service with a confession and forgiveness of sins. Friends in Christ, in this Lenten season, we have heard our Lord's call to struggle against sin, death, and the devil, all that keeps us from loving God and each other. This is the struggle to which we are called at baptism. Within the community of the church, God never wearies of forgiving sin and giving the peace of reconciliation. On this night, let us confess our sin against God and our neighbor, and enter in the celebration of the great 3 days, reconciled with God and with one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen.
Thank you.
Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy God, source of all love, on the night in which his betrayal, Jesus gave us a new commandment, to love one another as he loves us. Write this commandment in our hearts, and give us the will to serve others, as he was the servant of all. Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
For Maundy Thursday, a reading from Exodus chapter 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month, they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join with its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat of it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted over the fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will now intone the psalm as printed in the bulletin. I love the Lord who has heard my voice and listened to my supplication. How shall I repay the Lord for all the good things God has done for me?
I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your handmaid. You have freed me from my bonds. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people.
In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem.
The second reading comes from 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, beginning with the 23rd verse. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The word of the Lord. Please rise for the proclamation of the Holy Gospel.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus answered, You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand. Peter said to him, You will never wash my feet. Jesus answered, Unless I wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you. For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, Not all of you are clean. After he washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am only with you a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I've got to tell you, an hour or so ago, I was pacing around in my office. Kathy might have seen or heard me. Trying to put together this sermon. And I promise, I started writing it days ago. This gospel text is one that we read every year on this day. Every year we come to Holy Week and we read the story of Jesus sharing a meal with his disciples and washing their feet. And I love this story. And I think maybe because I love it so much, I had a hard time putting all my thoughts in order. So fair warning, this might jump around a bit. This is the night that we celebrate the institution of one of our sacraments. We celebrate and remember that Jesus told us to share this meal that we will share later tonight. And this is the night that we are given our new commandment, our new mandatum, I think I said that right, that gave us this night's name, Maundy Thursday. As a child, I had no idea what that meant. I just knew this was communion night. This was the night we got to take part in that supper, this Maundy Thursday. I think maybe we should change the name to Love Thursday or Commandment Thursday, something that people actually know what is. This is the night we remember that Jesus, knowing his time had come, loved his disciples and loved them to the end. And then he did something so strange that we puzzle over it thousands of years later. He took off his outer garment. He knelt at the feet of those who followed him. He held those probably disgusting feet in his hands and cleaned them, washed them with water, dried them with a towel. Not really a thing we do so often for our dinner guests anymore. But at the time, this was necessary. At the time, it was necessary to wash one's feet before you got to the table, because at the table, everybody was lying down. So everybody's feet were touching each other. It was a very different table setup than we have in our homes nowadays. In this culture, you couldn't come to the table, you couldn't partake in the meal if your feet were not cleaned from their journey outside. But your teacher, your Lord, your master, that was not who washed your feet. An unnamed servant who you didn't really look at too closely was the one who did it. Think about that picture. Think about Jesus kneeling in front of his disciples, these people who had given up everything to follow him, kneeling in front of them, holding their feet. Think of how vulnerable Jesus was in that moment. You see, Maundy Thursday, Love Thursday, it's really all about vulnerability. Because love is really all about vulnerability. The thought of having someone touch your feet is vulnerable. The thought of touching a stranger's feet is vulnerable. But so are so many other expressions of love. Having a child, knowing that the world could bring that child pain or sickness and will eventually bring death, is vulnerable. Falling in love, putting a large measure of your happiness in another person you have no control over, and then deciding to make a promise to keep loving them forever, and then doing it, is vulnerable. We are walking vulnerably through a broken world every day. That's why we come here. That's why we have the church. That's why Jesus came. Because the only way to love is to put yourself in a place where you can be hurt. Jesus knew the hearts of every one of the people in front of him as he washed their feet. He knew the heart of Peter, who was all in even when he didn't understand what he was all in for. Peter, who at first was like, nope, we can't do this, and then when Jesus said he had to, was like, all right, let's do it all the way. Because that's who Peter is. Peter knew the hearts of all the disciples who aren't as often named. Their own struggles, their own fears, their own hopes for what it was that Jesus was doing, because they didn't know yet, but they knew Jesus was doing something. And Jesus knew the heart of Judas. As he held Judas's feet and he washed them, as he invited Judas to the same table he invited all his disciples to share in the same meal, to receive the same love, he knew what was in Judas's heart. Jesus is the picture of vulnerability as he cares for and loves the one who will hand him over to the pain that is to come, to the death that is to come. We don't think about terms of vulnerability that often, but when I was a chaplain for a year and 3 months, separate times, I got to practice it a lot. Because you see, in chaplaincy, your main job is to walk into a stranger's room and ask if they want to talk about anything, about their health, about their faith, about whatever's going on. And let me tell you, by the way, stranger's hospital room, so something's going on. Walking into a stranger's room and asking them how they're doing, while they are hooked up to whatever, while they've had doctors and nurses and therapists and whoever else inside, the responses run the gamut. From people delighted to see you, to people who are wondering if you're a Catholic priest, even though you're a woman, wearing the collar confuses them. To people who don't ever want to talk about their faith and don't want to talk to a chaplain and why are you here? To people who are truly angry and hurting. I got them all. And I was thinking about this one man who I visited at the hospital. And he was so angry. And he had every right to be angry. He had a terminal diagnosis. He knew he was going to die. And he was angry about that. And he was worried about his wife. And he was angry that the things he was saying was making people worried that he was suicidal, because he wasn't, and that wasn't something he wanted to deal with. And all of a sudden, here shows up this chaplain saying, how are you doing? That visit didn't go very well for me. I took this man's anger, I listened to him, and I tried to help, which is not always the most helpful thing to do. I walked out and he was still angry. And I felt like I'd failed. I talked with my supervisor. I was in a program that taught me how to be a chaplain, and so thank goodness I had someone to talk to. And we talked about how he was doing and what was going on, and I had this feeling, this strong feeling, that I had to go back and see him. And I really, really didn't want to. He remained on the ward I was covering. I knew how he was doing from doctors and nurses that I talked to, but I really didn't want to go in his room. And the day it came to it, I stood outside of his room where he couldn't see me. And I breathed, and I prayed. And then I went in. Knowing how angry he was, knowing how frustrated he was, how worried he was, I went in and I talked to him again, because I knew it was my job to show him that there was still love in this world. And the thing with this story that I've taken this long to tell you is it doesn't have a happy, miraculous ending. I went in again and he was still angry. And he told me there was nothing I could do or say that would take that anger away. I walked out this time knowing I had done what God had called me to do, but knowing that that vulnerability is hard. So much more so when Jesus is sitting at the feet of Judas, who is feeling so many things about Jesus that he has done something desperate. He is going to betray Jesus. Judas, who followed Jesus, who believed in Jesus, we don't know all of Judas's motivations, but we know he was feeling probably angry that Jesus wasn't the Messiah he was expecting, frustrated that this wasn't going the way he thought it would go, worried about what would happen to him if Jesus didn't go in and take over Rome and rule as the king on the earth the way he expected him to. Judas and Jesus standing there in that moment is this whole pack of vulnerability. Sorry. But despite all of that, despite Jesus knowing exactly what Judas was going to do and exactly what that was going to bring on him himself, Jesus washes his feet and invites him to the table. And then he looks around at all of his disciples and he says, "Do you know what I just did? This is it. This is my commandment. A new law for the disciples to follow from all the old laws in the Old Testament. All of them lead up to this. Do what I just did. Love one another." Jesus washing Judas's feet didn't make Judas change his mind. It didn't change Judas's plans. It didn't make everything better. But Jesus still loved Judas. Not just a warm, happy feeling inside, but in actual action, removing the barriers that were there for Judas to join them at the table. Jesus doesn't promise that everything is going to work out perfectly every time. Jesus doesn't promise that things will be easy. Jesus shows us that when things are not easy, when we are in the darkest days of our lives, love still triumphs. Love is still what we are given and what we are commanded to give. Love one another. Not because it will get someone to do what you want them to do, but because God loves you. Love one another, not because that's the way to make everything better for the whole world all at once. It's not how the world works. But love one another because you are loved. It's a commandment and a promise wrapped up in one. God loves us to the end. God loves us through the darkest days. God loves us through all the brokenness of this world, broken relationships, broken homes, wars, illness, death. God loves us and commands us to take that love and do something with it. Not with the promise that what we expect will happen, but with a promise that we will always be loved and we will always be invited to the table with Jesus. Amen.
Free fit, God, God. shape us to reflect our Lord's self-giving example of service to others. Hear us, O God. O God.
Your mercy is great. Attend to the needs of the whole world with your saving grace, and lead us all into new life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
was lifted up from the earth, draw us to the heart in the midst of this world, that all creation may be brought from bondage to freedom, from darkness to light, and from death to life. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, whose suffering and death gave salvation to all. You gather your people around the tree of the cross, transforming death into life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending
Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love, you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shared for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. And now, gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Please stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, in a wonderful sacrament, you strengthen us with the saving power of your suffering, death, and resurrection. May this sacrament of your body and blood so work in us that the fruits of your redemption will show forth in the way we live. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Please be seated.